Good, thank you. If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, for a moment to the book of Ruth. I think that's about the sixth book of the Old Testament. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Ruth chapter number one. We'll look right down at this passage here. This has got to be one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible. In fact, my mother's maiden name, her middle name was Ruth, and one of my daughters' middle name is Ruth, and then I like Baby Ruth candy bars. I mean, it's all from the Bible. And so, but the book of Ruth, we're going to look down here for a moment. If you have a cell phone on, if you'd be so kind to, come on, Sawyer. Look, I just opened the Bible. Come on, man. Rebellious. Who knows? Maybe he's going to be a preacher and he didn't want to listen to me. He wanted to do the preaching. That's fine. I'm glad he's here today. He'll be fine. But Ruth chapter 1, if you have your cell phone, let's get that put away and let's get it out of our hand unless that's what your Bible app is on for the service. Here we go. Everyone still? All right. No more bathroom breaks. Good. You know, it's a strange thing. A teenager can sit down or a kid can watch a movie 4 straight hours, never have to get up. They come to church, they got to get up 4 times for the bathroom, 3 times for the water fountain, 6 times to check their cell phone, and then one more time to meet a stranger and get their phone number in the lobby. And so, Ruth chapter number 1, I want to read just part of this and then we'll get right in. Ruth chapter 1 verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." And we'll refer to some other verses in just a moment. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for the gathering of these people. You've commanded us to be at church. You knew that we need it. It's a help to us and an encouragement to you. So I pray that what is said today would be valuable. We're not here out of duty. We're not here out of self-glory, any of us. We really want to hear you tell us something today. So I pray that you would help me say just what you've put in my heart and leave out what you would have me not to say. In Jesus' name, amen. A little background on this book, and we are all in this story that we're about to read. Every one of us in some way is in the story, not by name, but by character, and you'll see this. So it says, this is the time when the judges ruled the land. And this was a time before they had kings, and there was a vicious cycle that took place in Israel. Israel would serve the Lord, and then as they were blessed and prospered, they forgot the Lord and started worshiping themselves and idols. Because of that, God would send enemies to them to put them in captivity, to humble them. Then the nation would cry uncle, so to speak, and say, Lord, please help us. He would send them a judge who would deliver them. Then they were on top side again. Once they started getting blessed, they forgot God again. They didn't need him anymore because it wasn't a valley. They were on the mountaintop. And so that cycle repeats about 13 times in the book of Judges. And so the theme of this book is this. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And then another key phrase is there was no magistrate in the land. So to put that in modern vernacular, if it feels good, do it. And they had no Bible. Whatever you think is right for you. That was their philosophy, much like America's philosophy today. And so we have this minute story. Sometimes God would take one little family or one little story and drop it in the Bible. So I'm sure many stories like this took place, but it gives us this one. It's real condensed. So I hope you'll kind of hang with me as I introduce the characters and then try to give the meaning for us today. Notice what he says. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Now you understand famine. That means no rain. That means no crops. That means no DoorDash. That means no Walmart delivery. That means no drive-through Starbucks. I mean, it was bad. And so food is scarce. It's a famine. And it says, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, that's the name of the city. Bethlehem means house of bread. Judah means praise. I think we know something about Bethlehem, don't we? And maybe we'll get back to that, but that's where this little family lived. They went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now notice, so here it is. Food's starting to run out. There's no rain. So all of a sudden this family says, we're moving. Never one time do they look to God for advice. Never one time do they seek his counsel. It's just, hey, times are tough. We got to go. Anyway, you know it better than me. You need to get up here and I'll sit down. So the times got tough. So the tough got going and they just headed out. Let me encourage you here this morning. During valleys of life, during tough times, we've not had famine in my lifetime. We may in the lifetime of our kids. We don't know. But I know this. There's been spiritual famines. There's been emotional famines. There's been domestic famines when the marriage is not going well. There's times when there's job layoffs and there's injuries and health issues and bills are high and income is low and there's famines. There's times when a child breaks your heart and does not do what you dreamed that they would do. There's times of backsliding where sometimes you just get way away from God and you wonder, how in the world, what was I thinking? Why did I do these insane things? And there's other times you come to church all the time and still your heart feels cold and it's not warmed up. So you're trying to do right, but it doesn't feel right. And there's just all these types of famine. We could go on and on. But be careful making decisions at that time. You don't make decisions at the bottom of the valley. You make your major decisions in advance. Decisions like, I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Decisions like, I'm going to live my life for him. Decisions like, our family's going to get to church. We're going to find the best church that we believe preaches the Bible within driving distance where we can be faithful and we're going to be involved. You make all those decisions in advance so when you go through the valleys, you don't second guess yourself. And so here it is. It's famine time. Many people would say, well, time to go. And I know there's going to be people leave our state. And I get it. I get it. And this is not a political sermon today. But I'm just saying, whatever you do that's a major decision, you need to be able to say, here's why we did that. Amen. Here's why we did that. Here's how God led us. Here's my prayer time. Here's the advice I got. Here's the counsel I sought. And so here it is. Here's this little couple. We have to hurry. Verse 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech. His name means God is my king. And the name of his wife, Naomi. Her name means pleasant, or you could say happy. So God is my king. God's going to rule our family. Her name, pleasant. You get it? Here it is. The name of their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into it said they came. So here it is. The dad made a decision. Hey, things are tough here. I can't get a good $90 an hour job and they don't have 401k for me. Man, we're out of here. It's $91 and we're going to move to Moab. So when he made a decision, it made a decision for his wife. It made a decision for their two sons. Your decisions will always affect others. You older kids in the family, especially firstborn, you're the oldest one in the family. As you make decisions, your younger siblings look up to you and decide what decisions they're going to make. Guess what? I have one brother. He's older than me. He is second best looking of the kids my parents had. But I know this. When he decided what his hair would look like, I decided what my hair would look like. When he decided what music he'd listen to, I decided what music I'd listen to. When he decided where he would go, I decided where I would go. He had an influence because of the decisions that he made. So here's this family. They go to Moab. Where is that? It's a city God forbade the Jews to go to. It was a relative of Lot, a very evil person, this Moab. It was, do not go to Moab. And that's exactly where Elimelech moved. And notice what it says. It says, and they came, it says in verse 1, and they went to sojourn. The word sojourn means visit. But if you'll look further down in verse number 2, and it says, and they continued. You know, it's always like that. Sin is always, hey, you don't have to stay here, just visit. It's fun. It's great. It's wonderful. It's tempting. Hey, everybody else is sojourning here. It'll invite you to stay a little while, and then you'll end up building a house there. It's the sojourn. It's a drink to an alcoholic. It's a high to an addiction. It's a little bit of dirty magazine and a little bit of porn sites to a lifestyle. It's a little bit of arguing to a divorce. It always starts a sojourn and ends up a homestead. So we see they move to Moab. No big deal. They're just going to stay a little while. Well, look at this. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. They didn't expect that, did they? Honey, we're going to move. We're going to move away from relatives. We're going to move away from church. We're going to move away from the pastor. We're going to move away from everything we know. And then he dies. He didn't plan on that. And she was left and her two sons, and they took themselves wives of the women of Moab. The Moabites were idol worshipers. They did not worship the true God. They bowed down to stones and worshiped. They bowed down to trees and worshiped. I want to encourage your parents. If you've got kids, they marry someone they know. How'd they pick the Moabite girls? Well, that's where their parents moved them. They moved them to Moab. Now they're going to school with Moabite girls. Now their friends are Moabite girls. And guess who they're going to marry? A Moabite girl. If you don't want your kids to marry a certain type of person, don't get them a lot of time around those type people. So, well, that's America. You can't regulate. No, I guess you can't. I guess you can't. But you can sure teach them and guide them. I'm never going to finish this message. So anyway, maybe we'll just read a few verses. We'll be done. Verse 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. She started a TV show, Oprah Winfrey Show. No, it's Oprah. Okay. And the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. They went to visit. They lived there 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Look at all the tragedy that's coming. The breadwinner dies. Daddy dies. Now the two son-in-laws die. The two sons die. Now she's a widow. Now she's got two daughter-in-laws that are also widows. It's just gone downhill. And I want to say this. The best day in sin is the first day. There is pleasure in sin for a season, but then it's downhill quickly after that. But with Jesus Christ, the best is yet to come. You get saved. There's some hard days, and no one says the Christian life is easy, but you got some great days ahead. The promises of God, you got heaven ahead of you. So these boys died. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And I love this verse. You said, what in the world does that mean? It means this. Her husband Elimelech said, hey, jobs are playing out. There's no food. There's a famine. We got to go. So he moves them to Moab. 10 years later in Bethlehem, guess what they're advertising? We have bread. We have bread. What's that mean? Bread doesn't grow on trees. It didn't just start growing and there was loaves of bread. Some people stayed. Did you get it? Some people stayed during the tough times. They stayed in Bethlehem, and now they're going to be a blessing to those that left. Those that messed their lives up, someone stayed. Let me encourage you, Christian, stay in the will of God, because someone's going to need you later. Stay in the will of God. He will feed you. He will lead you. Whatever God's will is, sink your roots deep. He'll take care of you. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous begging bread or his seed begging bread. He'll take care of you. Your heavenly Father will make sure you eat. He'll make sure he'll take care of you. So, what's that mean? During the tough times, sink your roots. Somebody did. Somebody made it. During tough times in your marriage, sink your roots. During tough times with wayward children, just sink your roots and determine to do the right thing, because they're going to need bread when they come home. Amen. We have to hurry. Look down a little bit further. She heard in the country of Moab how the Lord visited. Guess what? That meant someone had some good news. You know, about all you look at on the news these days, and it doesn't matter what news you watch, it's all bad. Riot takes place at an NBA game. I mean, those guys are only making $1 million a game and they got to beat each other up. So-and-so says this, and the political speeches, and this person, and the, man, everywhere you look, we're being bombed, someone's going to jail, now they've broken up and they found someone else. It's just terrible news. But thank God someone had some good news in Bethlehem. They said, we have some bread. Anybody hungry? We got bread. You don't have to starve to death. You know, our church ought to be just full of the thought of spreading the good news. You say, what good news? Jesus came. Jesus was born. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God's given us a Bible. Jesus died on the cross, paid for our sins. He rose from the dead. He's coming back one day. He has a plan for your life. Heaven's forever. There's a lot of good news. Heard that the Lord had given us them bread. Look at this, verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Let me ask you a question. Think that was easy? 10 years. They said, Sayonara. No, don't leave. Don't leave. Sayonara. It's a famine. We gotta go. Tragedy strikes. 10 years later, think it was easy to get up, head back home? You know, it's never easy for a kid that runs away from home to come back home. It takes some humility. It takes some humble pie. It's never easy for a wife or a husband that's done wrong and taken off to come back and try to work things out. It's never easy. It's never easy for a Christian that strays away from the Lord to say, Lord, you were right. I was wrong. I'm coming home. But how wise it was. Verse number 9, the last phrase, we're just about out of time. It said, and they lifted up their voice and wept. You'll find a lot of tears when you leave the plan of God for your life. And young people, it all looks so happy. That's why on the advertisements, when they're drinking Bud Light, or they're drinking something like that, it's always, every tooth is in order. White smiles, the beautiful women, the handsome men. It looks so good. But they don't paint the rest of the story. They don't paint the picture of the drunk driver that killed a family behind bars. They don't paint the picture of the early grave of the alcoholic. They don't paint the picture of all the missing teeth because of drugs. They don't paint the wrinkles on the face and the broken heart. The devil's a liar. He always paints a beautiful picture. He never shows the end. So now they're crying. And then he says, notice the attitude of Naomi here. So we see no man is an island. Now, number two, look at this at the end of verse 13. She's talking to her husband, her daughter-in-laws, and says, the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they wept again. What? Wait a minute. It's interesting. Her husband decided to move. It all fell apart, and it's God's fault. Did you get that? She's crying. She goes, the hand of the Lord's come against me. Then look a little bit further. Here, Ruth says, you know, I'm going to stick with you. And Orpah says, I'm going to kiss you goodbye. During the tragedies of life, you'll find two responses. Those who kiss God goodbye, if this is what I get for serving you, see you later. And they get bitter. And then there are those that cleave. Ruth said, hey, I'm going to cleave to you. Your God will be my God. Your family will be my family. Your land will be my land. I'm not letting you go. Now, let me encourage you going through tough times today. Cleave to the Lord. Amen. Hug the Lord. Don't get bitter. Don't kiss him goodbye. You'll need him. You'll be needing him. And then notice it keeps going a little further. Verse number 19. So they two went on till they came to Bethlehem, and came to pass. They were come to Bethlehem. All the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? She had been gone 10 years. Sin puts wrinkles on you. Sin ages you. That happy, pleasant woman was not happy and pleasant now. She's coming back into her hometown. Is this Naomi? Well, it looks like her. No, that can't be her. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. There she is again. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. The last phrase, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. She's a very bitter woman. She comes home, God has done this. I had so much when I left, and now I'm coming back empty. I have nothing. And oh, she's bitter. Aren't you glad God is patient with us when we get an attitude? You ever had an attitude and God should have just struck us with lightning, blown up the whole city? God could have said, I didn't do this to you. It was some wrong decisions. She comes into town. And I want to argue with Naomi here. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me back empty. Hey, Naomi, you're fuller than you think, girl. You're fuller than you think. You're not empty. A friend of mine years ago loaned me his Toyota made in America. I only drive American cars, Toyota. But he loaned me his Toyota, and it was on E. And I said, no thanks. I don't want to run out of gas. He goes, no, no, E don't mean E. It means almost E. It's still got another gallon. It's got 30 more miles. If it's on E, you got 30. It was fuller than I thought. About the time you think, well, we don't have anything. Pastor, God's taken everything. Our whole life's messed up. We have nothing. Well, let me just remind you, you are a little fuller than you think. You do live in America. The migrants who are coming across our borders, and that's you can debate that all day long, but I'm saying, notice what country they want to come to. They're not leaving America, going to other places. They're coming here. Why? You live in a great country. We have problems. We have difficulties. It's a mess. It's not what it used to be, but we still get to live here. You have health. You have education. You have eyes that see. You have a friend, you have relatives, you have a church, you have a Bible, you have salvation. If Jesus is your Savior, you're pretty full. A lot of people in third world countries would be glad to trade places with you right now. You're fuller than you think. Measure on how full the tank is, not how empty it's become. I just have to tell you the rest of the story. I don't have time to preach it. We just can't. There's no time. So what happens is Naomi comes home. She's bitter. Her daughter-in-law, the Moabite, Ruth. Soon as they get to town, guess what? Grace of God. It's barley harvest. Barley is now ripe in all the fields. That's kind of a poor man's bread. And if you were poor, they didn't send you a government check. You still had to work. You could gather what the harvesters forgot to pick. That was yours. So Ruth says, Naomi, you rest up here. I know how to work. She got in the field and started working. It just so happened it was barley harvest. She was able to beat that barley out. They had fresh barley bread that night, barley soup. they didn't starve. They were able to eat. It just so happened she ended up on the field of a relative named Boaz, a wealthy man who was single. I told someone recently, I said, do you know what you call a good-looking, wealthy, single man at Hopewell Baptist Church? A visitor. So here it was. She's happened to be picking this barley, and it's a distant relative. He asked, who's this beautiful girl? Oh, that's the Moabite girl. Her husband died. That's Naomi's daughter-in-law. Really? Well, do this. Drop some handfuls on purpose. Why don't you just pick some whole, just a lot of the barley, and don't make her have to pick the scraps. Throw it on the ground so it's easy for her. And tell her to eat bread at my table during lunch break. And we have water here, and no one's going to bother her. I've ordered people too. She's now eating at the table. She's now got food to bring home to her mother-in-law. She is now treated kindly. And Boaz looked and he said, now whose daughter-in-law are you? I have been told that you're a virtuous woman. Word is out on the street. You're a virtuous woman, and you have come to trust under God's wings that we have trusted under. In other words, we heard you got saved. You say, well, Pastor, so how's this kind of all end up? Naomi and Ruth, they were rejected. Now they're accepted. They were poor. Now they're becoming rich. They were bitter. Now they're becoming joyful. They were complaining. Now they're praising. Then here's how it all ends up. Boaz falls in love with Ruth. They get married. She has a son. And hope you ladies will learn from this. They named it Obed. I guess because she was laying in a bed when she had it. I don't know. That's a strange name. Don't name your kid Obed. I like Sawyer a lot better. I like that name a whole lot. Obed had a child named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David from Bethlehem. And years later, one of David's descendants had someone that was named Mary, the Virgin Mary, who would one day be in Bethlehem and have a child named Jesus Christ. In the last chapter of Ruth, Naomi's got her little grandbaby in her hands. And I think she's saying, God is so good. God is so good. By the way, don't call me Mara anymore. Call me Naomi now. You can call me Naomi again. It means pleasant. God is so. Yeah. Amen. So how does salvation fit into this story? Elimelech. His family, they did their own thing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And they strayed. How's the gospel in this story? Then they heard some good news. The gospel is the good news. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had to humble themselves and say, you've got something we don't have. And the bread of life, Jesus Christ, they by faith, they came. They were accepted. The rest is history. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven one day when you die, God loves you. And he's got a big plan for you. Doesn't matter how messy your life has gotten. Doesn't matter if you messed it up, a relative messed it up, someone you looked up to messed it up. Doesn't matter how you got there. You can always come back. And it's a short journey back to Bethlehem. You're hungry inside, you're unfulfilled, you're missing out. He's the bread of life, and he'll fill your soul. But you've got to humble yourself, and by faith come, and it'll make a difference. That's the story for the day.